As long as the heart is tied to identity, to time, to location, then Nibbana is out of reach, cannot be realized. But when that becoming is let go of, bhava-nirodho, bhava-nirodha, when the becoming stops, when there is no bhava, then Nibbana, peacefulness, can be realized. It's a very simple principle, but very hard to actualize, to realize, because the heart so easily is tied to becoming, getting to the temple in time for 8:30, getting to the walking path before somebody else gets there. We're just getting to the end of the path so we can turn around and walk back again. Me going somewhere. Me getting somewhere in my meditation. Me getting somewhere in my spiritual life. Whether it's coarse or subtle, it's important to bring attention to these many forms of becoming, whether it's just the feeling of becoming in terms of the body walking, making a journey, sitting in a car, or whether it's a subtle kind of becoming, the feeling of I being somebody who has failed, I being somebody who is getting somewhere, succeeding, I being someone who's confused, I being the owner of a doubt. All that I-making and mind-making, this is all bhava-tanha, the desire to be, to exist, defined being. This is a powerful compulsion to the heart. But if we recognize it, we know it's there, then it can be let go of. It's like an addiction. If you don't know you're addicted, it's very hard to give it up. If you recognize there's an addiction, then you can work with it. So in the development of insight, it's most helpful to bring attention to these attitudes of becoming. Just the simple act of walking, the feeling of me crossing the courtyard, me getting to my kuti, me walking to the sala. How the mind reaches ahead of itself, but it doesn't have to. Just to let the awareness be utterly present, perfectly still, listening to these words, not leaning into the words that are coming, but attending to this sound, this word, right now. Or as we develop a feeling, a sense of the texture of that kind of grasping, that identifying, becoming, getting to know that feeling, then it can be let go of. The mind making a judgment, holding an opinion, I think, I feel, I should. The more that the attention can be brought to that, to know that becoming quality, that becoming feeling, then it can be relinquished. To allow the heart to abide in an undefined presence, not going somewhere, not being something. As the Buddha said, one who has reached the end has no criterion by which they can be measured. When the heart is fully awake, you can't define it as being a person or not a person. You can't define it as being here or there. All those normal, ordinary ways of judging who and what we are, where we are, they don't apply. When the Buddha describes the unborn, the unconditioned, the uncreated, he says there is that ayatana, that sphere of being, where there is no coming, no going, no standing still. It's not a dying nor a reappearance. Blows the mind. Our usual way of thinking in terms of here and there. I'm in the temple. I'm in my room. I was there, and now I'm here. I will go some other place. The mind thinks in terms of self, time, place. I was there in the sala. Now I'm here in the temple. I will go out into the field. Our ordinary conditioned perceptions revolve around time, past and future, present, self. I used to, I am, I will. Time and self and location. I'm in the temple. I'm at Amaravati. I'm in Hertfordshire. I am here. But if we reflect, look at the nature of mind itself, see that space, place only applies to the world of form, to Rupa Khanda, to the body. Material world. Place doesn't really apply to mind at all. You can't say the mind is any place or is not any place. Location only applies to the material world. Doesn't apply to the mind. That might sound very abstract or remote. But it's a useful reflection to help the mind to recognize those attachments, the entanglement with time, self, and place. I was there, now I'm here, I will go. In the development of insight, we need to bring the attention to those assumptions about time, past and future, to let go, to let the mind be awake to this present reality. To recognize the feelings of I and me and mine, all the I-making, mind-making, to let that go as well. There's knowing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. But is there an independent, permanent I that it belongs to? Can that be found? What is that? And even if there's a letting go of time and self, the feeling of things happening here can still persist. There's a here-ness, this place. This is where things are happening. This is where life is felt. Here, this spot, in the temple, now, on my cushion. But if that's explored, looked at that feeling of place, even that feeling of here-ness, it's just as constructed as the feelings of self and time. Mind is not any place. The body, you can say, here are the coordinates, geographical location in this spot. Place applies to the material world. The mind is non-material. Place does not apply. As Lumpo Cha put it, he said, the Buddha Dhamma is not to be found in moving forwards, nor in moving backwards, nor in standing still. This is the place of non-abiding. It's a place of no-thingness, of non-possession, anadana, non-ownership, akinchana, no-thingness. When the habits of self-creation, self-view, is confronted with these kinds of reflection, it gets frightened. It feels like a sense of loss. Oh, I was somebody, now it's been taken away. Eek! But that's just the conditioning of self-view, identification with the body, the personality, with time, self, location. Nothing is being lost. Like the example of the snake in the grass, walking along a path through the long grass, you see a round shape. You think, eek, it's a snake. We feel anxious, afraid. Then you realize, oh, it's not a snake, it's just a piece of rope. What happened to the snake when the rope was recognized? Nothing happened to the snake, because there never was one. So it's not like there is a self that then gets wiped out. There is a me who's losing something genuine. That sense of I, this independent, permanent entity here in this place, it's just the appearance. Like the piece of rope appearing to be a snake. When that appearance is seen through, when it's recognized, nothing is lost. Rather, the reality is gained. The truth is realized. So this kind of insight might be threatening to the ego, but it's blissful, delightful to the heart. And the unborn, the unoriginated, the unconditioned is realized when the heart knows its own nature. The experience is one of simplicity, delight, freedom. And you don't have to do anything with it. The you, the I, the me is just another pattern that arises that's known within that same space, within that same awareness. Just like a feeling in the leg or the sound of a machine, the humming of the the nada. All those I's and me's and mine's, they simply arise, take shape, dissolve. Nothing is gained through their presence, nothing is lost through their departure. Transparent, empty, void of substance. The task then is to allow that insight to take shape, to be realized, to simply be what it is, not for me to make something of it, but just allow that understanding to abide, to be present. The heart knowing its own nature, that's all. No story has to be created around it. No thing has to be done with it. Let the heart abide in knowing its own nature. Perfectly simple, unsupported, self-sustaining.